just arrived home from the office, and we hear him say,
"Where could I go in?"
"Mr. Smith is using the telephone."
"Yes?"
"He's talking long distance to his mother and sister in Pontiac. I told him he could have privacy."
"Yes."
"Can you be through directly?"
"I'm right on the way from the office."
"Hurry up, John."
"Yes. Big back here in Rogers. So it's Edmund to know about 6 o'clock tonight."
"Oh, of course. Sit right down here on the steps and begin on him."
"Oh, thank you."
"Sure.
All my stuff in the library table. All the news and erasers and charts and figures and junk. Anyway, I couldn't accomplish anything scrawled on the half-wit front porch."
"Well, I'm sorry, and if you just have to stay out of that living room until Mr. Sludge is done with his conversation."
"You been talking?"
"Oh, quite a little bit." "Sit down here by me. You're not in such a rush, you can't wait a minute or two."
"No, but I dash home from the office 90 miles an hour to do a job, then discover I can't enter my own house."
"Well, I'm sorry, but there's no help for it."
"Well, this is phone calls run into money. I hope Brother Sludge appreciates that."
"Who's going to pay?"
"Why don't he use his own phone, anyway?"
"Well, Mr. Cameron and Mr. Bruce, Miss Harris's other two roomers, are both home this afternoon. Mr. Sludge likes privacy when he talks to his mother and sister." "He was very much upset when he knocked at the door a while ago."
"Quiet?"
"Yes. He's had his feelings hurt downtown."
"He's always having his feelings hurt."
"Well, on the floor, you know."
"Oh, Bobby, boy. The big box is 40 years old, ain't he?"
43, but that don't cut any ice. Once a mama's boy, always a mama's boy."
"Who hurt his feelings this trip?"
"Some clergyman at the 5 and 10 cent store. Seems Mr. Sludge likes to drop in there at noontime to look around."
"Oh, a beautiful woman telling me he's going to be educated."
"Hello, Mother."
"Hi."
"Now, who'll want to go in the house?"
"Well, I sure love to go in the house. I've got a bushel of work to do before 6 o'clock.
You'll be done directly. How did you get your shirt all dirty?"
"Down the mud. Can't go early today, hey, Jeff."
"On the contrary, I have to tackle a heap of invoices."
"You can't go inside, Willie."
"Why not?"
"Miss Harris's roommate's using the phone."
"With his love?"
"Yeah. He's talking long distance to his mother and sister in Pontiac. I told him he wouldn't be bothered with people running in and out."
"I won't bother him. I just want to get my first baseman's glove."
"Where is it?"
"Under the Davenport."
"No. I have to stay out of that living room until he's through with his conversation."
"I concur with you in that sentiment, Harold."
"But are you waiting for me over in Tatton's vacant lot?"
"Well, I'm waiting."
"Is the baboon going to shoot him out all day?"
"He hasn't had a chance to chat with his mother and sister for a long time. Probably got a lot to tell him. Anyway, he's all upset."
"What's he all upset about?"
"Some sneaky clerk down at the 5 and Dime hurt his feelings."
"You crying?"
"Oh, my, yes. Just gnawing sobs away when he knocked at the door a while ago."
"He sees a darned ball baby that ever come down the pipe."
"It's not your place to make fun. Remember, you're just a little boy, and Mr. Sludge is a grown man."
"You sure don't act like a grown man."
"All right."
"Oh, thank you. Go look in the wicket. See what the numbskulls do."
"No."
"He's probably all through talking on the phone. I bet he's checked out in the dormitory."
"No.
I can take him to the living room without him seeing me."
Hear me say no?"
"He's supposed to have a long distance bill of $48,000.
"He'll pay. We won't get stuck."
"That's not his voice. He's their silly gunny sack to go over by 6 o'clock, and here I sit with my tooth in my mouth."
"Well, he used his own telephone."
"Mr. Cameron and Mr. Breed, Miss Harris's other two roomers, are both home this afternoon. I guess Mr. Sludge is afraid they're jollying."
"Well, he cried, Bruce's Johnson, Willis Rawback, and Leland Richards, all over Cabin's vacant lot waiting for me."
"Oh, I don't imagine there'll be any horrible consequences if you don't return."
"I just slip in the doggone living room and get my first patient's mitt, and Mr. Sludge can't realize I'm
even
in
there."
"Nice."
"I thought it was stopping inside the house."
"Oh, yeah."
"It's not smart to laugh at people. Not the least bit smart."
"No, but a guy 43 years old."
"I guess a guy 43 years old can have feelings."
"What happened in the 10-cent store that broke his heart?"
"Some clerk was rude. He likes to spend his noontime seen at the 5 and Dime, see. He likes to walk through the aisles and look at their different articles for sale. Well, today he stopped at the candy counter to buy a little bag of sweets. He told the clerk he wanted a penny's worth of this, a penny's worth of that, and so on. And one of the things he ordered was a penny's worth of licorice buttons. The clerk put 5 in the sack. Mr. Clerk says, those licorice buttons are 6 for a penny, you say?" The clerk says, 5 for a penny. Mr. Sludge says, "I bought some the other day, and they were 6 per penny. A man with a mustache waited on me." The clerk says, "Look, neighbor, I can't stall around all day arguing with this about whether licorice buttons are 5 for a penny or 6 per penny. Do you want licorice buttons 5 for a penny, or don't you want any licorice buttons at all?" "I don't want any licorice buttons at all," says Mr. Sludge, and he stormed out of the 5 and Dime, sobbing and crying to be sedan.
"Hey, this fellow's too romantic."
"No, he's not either.
Only lame brain,
I admit he's a little on the tiny side. But that That's understandable. Perfectly understandable. All his life, he's been babied and coddled. His mother and sister idolized him. Well, up until he was 20 years old, nobody's ever said a mean word to him. It was a shock to learn there was meanness in the world. That's why he cried. Another thing is, he's homesick. It is time to be back in Pontiac. But his life is smart enough. Well, didn't you say he was an awful good boy?
Oh, and don't take blame.
He got teaching marks in school, I know. Miss Harris was telling me he had all his report cards stuck in the mirror of his filter. Wonderful marks. Arithmetic 100, geography 100, history 100, everything 100. So, which is not many.
Caleb, imagine a man, 43, crying like an infant because of a Texas store clerk wouldn't sell him liquor stock 6 for a penny.
I do think it's our place to clarify. You can't help the way he's built. I'm sorry for him, and I'm glad to do all the favors I can. It's cruel to laugh at a poor fellow that's blue and miserable.
My friends over in Cabin Drake and Lytle still put a lot of faith in my promises after this.
Mm-hmm. Friends over in Cabin Drake and Lytle probably survive you not being with them.
Hey, you can't be still talking.
You'll come out when you do.
It's been a quarter of an hour.
I've heard of people talking long distance, quarter of an hour.
I got these invoices. I didn't come home to lie on the front porch and let the breeze blow by my college. I come home to work.
Great, your invoice is on the ship here.
Oh,
I told Mrs. Slack you could have complete privacy, and I can't go back on. What's the matter? That's not comical, right? Not at all comical.
No, but I
guess. Yes. Instead of those company houses, their bill will set our undershirt to Detroit, Michigan, parts of food.
She'll pay.
Hope so.
She'll pay.
Bad luck in the winter, girl, Worm, and see
you. No. Stay right where you are.
Well, it serves you probably 6 hours above the port we didn't visit. How do you know he's back? May have finished talking with his mother 10 minutes ago.
You open the door and let us know when he's through.
This is getting slightly ridiculous. I don't mind going along with halfway junk, but to a certain extent, when there comes a time when...
Huh? Look, where?
Who knows? Hmm? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, might only come out.
Probably come close.
Well, I hope
it's fun of a hug. I'll be wanting to bring up any remarks this morning. I'll have to ask for you. Be courteous, Mrs. Light. See him, but this night, he's
over
the
door.
Well, all through. Hello, Mrs. Light. Well, you know, Judge. Morning, Dave. Well, you had a lovely long chat with your mother and sister, didn't you? Here, take my handkerchief. Yours is soaking, sopping wet.
Another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. Then we leave Christopher's Wickham Fade until tomorrow.